the Consultative Group on International Agricultural Research and the Earth System Science Partnership on Friday announced the creation of a global commission to craft a strategy for confronting the threat of climate change to food security. Professor Bob Scholes, Fellow Natural Resources and Environment, Council for Scientific and Industrial Research in South Africa, says his team will be working to raise the global political awareness that food security should not be taken for granted.
What it is trying to do is to raise the global political awareness that we shouldn't take food security for granted. You may well be aware, if you're older like myself, that during the 1960s, the world was staring at a real food security problem. There were major famines in many parts of the world, and the population of the world was growing faster than the food production was growing. So there was a big investment at that time into what we now know as the Green Revolution. And that was new crops and new ways of growing crops, which hugely increased world food production over the last 30 years. So for the last three decades, most of us, most of the time, have not known real hunger. Yes, I know, even in South Africa, and certainly in Africa as a whole, there are many people who are hungry. But globally, the world produces more food than it needs. Okay, we have a problem of getting the food from where it's made to people who really need it. But as we look forward in this century, the population of the world is currently just over 6 billion people. It will rise to over 9 billion people, perhaps 10 billion people, by the middle of the century, and then we believe it will start to level off. But that means we have to feed an extra 3 billion people in the next 40 years. At the same time, the food demands that people are making are changing. As people get slightly better off, and this is especially true in places like China, but also in Africa and South Africa, they start to change their diets away from staples such as maize and vegetables and to things like meat and poultry and wheat products. And those particular crops need more land and more water and more all sorts of things to produce than some of the basic staples. So the answer is, our food demand is going up very fast, but our ability to continue food production increases is slowing down. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that there's a problem emerging there.
How is this commission going to work towards building a global consensus on a clear set of policy actions aimed at influencing negotiations to help global agriculture adapt to climate change?
The Commission does not need to do new research. A lot of research has been done by many organizations around the world which make the position that I've just outlined to you really quite clear. But it is still not getting through to decision makers because we, you know, are not hungry on a daily basis. They think that the food security problem is solved. Well, it isn't. And so the question now is, how do we put that information which is available together in a way that is very persuasive to policymakers? And we're looking particularly at two opportunities. The first is the Climate Change Convention later in this year in Durban in South Africa, where many of the world leaders will concentrate, because there is a strong interaction between food production and climate change, both because the act of producing food is actually one of the main factors causing climate change, but also if the climate changes a lot, production of food will become much more difficult. So that's the one opportunity. The second opportunity is the next World Environmental Summit, which is called Rio Plus 20. If you remember, in Rio in 1992, the countries of the world got together and signed a couple of really important treaties, the Climate Change Treaty, Convention on Biodiversity, and the Desertification Treaty. They met again 10 years later in Johannesburg to create the Millennium Development Goals at the World Summit for Sustainable Development. They will meet again in 2012. Again, all the people of the world sitting down trying to figure out how to solve the world's big environmental problems, and this is one of them.
Why an increasingly concern that a wave of weather extremes will impede growth in food production? As you mentioned that earlier on, the world is producing enough food that could be able to feed the population, but the problem is that of equal distribution of this food produced.
Yes, that's true. But the world can only produce enough to feed itself if the production takes place in the best possible locations in the world. So we have to have very large efficiency all round. And what that means is that countries no longer necessarily produce food for themselves. Often they are dependent on food from other parts of the world. And there are several such major food-producing parts of the world. And up till now, we've been lucky that where we've had failures in one of those areas, we haven't had failures in the other, so our overall food production has been okay. But if it happens that we get, for instance, as we had this year, a massive flood in Australia, an important food-producing area, and a massive drought and fires in Russia, another important food-producing area, added up together, that means the world goes hungry.
Why is it that food from other parts of the world are being dependent by others?
Well, it is because the actual areas in the world where we can have high food production are quite limited. The places where we have good sunshine, plenty of rainfall, and good soils are only in a portion of the world's surface. And we've mostly used up that portion. They are not huge areas that we can convert to new production. The one exception to that is Africa. And as we are talking, we are seeing a big scramble for land resources in Africa for precisely that reason. That means that people who live in other parts of the world, and remember we're seeing all around the world a movement of people off the land and into cities, and the cities moving to the coastlines. Those people are not food producers, they are food consumers, and they are getting their food from somewhere else. We no longer mostly grow our own food, you and I. We buy it from the supermarket, it has come from some other part of the world.
How rapidly is the ecology of the world changing from time to time?
It's changing more rapidly now than at any other time in recorded history. We have transformed the surface of the world from being mostly under natural vegetation to being predominantly under some kind of human-altered vegetation just over the last 50 years. And so that is having enormous consequences to the climate, we know that, but also to things like the richness of life on Earth, which ultimately supports our ability to live here.
That was Professor Bob Scholes, Fellow, Natural Resources and Environment, Council for Scientific and Industrial Research in South Africa, talking to Wandile Khalipa.